his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And go back to that Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Beginning with verse 9, this is what it says. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Sound familiar? Last week we spoke about Enoch walking with God. Enoch is the great-grandfather of Noah. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sound familiar? The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And jump down to verse 17. This is what it says. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. This is God talking to Noah. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Today, I want to continue in our sermon series, Real Faith, with the message, a faith that takes action. A faith that takes action. Amen? You may be seated. A faith that takes action. Let the church say action.
Action.
Action, action, action. In the book of James, actually a letter that was written by James, he makes mention of faith. He speaks about faith. And he talks about faith without works is dead. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we as believers, we as Christians, we do not attest our Christianity or attribute our Christianity to works. We work because of what Christ Jesus did for us, and we believe that. But it is important for us to recognize that God just doesn't expect us to just have faith and be content and settled in on just claiming I have faith. Our faith has to take action. Our faith has to have something more to it. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the anonymous writer, lays out the plan and lays out the expectations that God has for those who are believers to exercise faith. We've already looked at several verses in chapter 11, and we've already determined that the first couple of verses are a definition of faith. The first verse is a definition of faith, and then there are examples of faith and how the writer begins even from creation to say that if you look around, you can tell that God is real. And he's helping the reader to understand that we are expected to live not just by any old type of faith, but according to real faith. And in the examples that he gives in these verses in chapter 11 of Hebrews, he begins to use some Old Testament people, personalities, to explain real faith. We've already looked at Abel. He started with Abel. And in Abel, we saw real faith in worshiping God. Abel was the first one that pleased God by bringing the right offering to him. And then in Enoch, we saw real faith in walking with God. Enoch walked with God. And we discovered the importance and the significance of having an intimate and close relationship with God. And today, in verse 7, we see in Noah, we see real faith in working for God. It's important for us to recognize that Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, was seen as walking with God. And then it goes and says that Noah was the one that began to work with God, and his faith was shown that he began to build this ark. And nestled in between Enoch and Noah is verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is like a hinge, if you will, to both episodes. And in verse 6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. But those who worship God, those who please God, must first of all believe that he actually exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it's important for us to see how verse 6 is nestled in between verse 5 and 7. And it's important to see that what he is saying is that Enoch walked with God, but Noah worked for God. And they have something in common. What joined them together is that both of them believe that God is real. And since they believe that God is real, they exhibited real faith in the way that they walked and in the way that they worked. And that's what's so significant to us, my brothers and sisters, because it's not enough for us to say that we believe, but we also must diligently seek him. That means we ought to put some energy and some effort into chasing after God. And so Noah's story, we've heard about Noah's story. Several of us have been in Sunday school and we've heard it somewhere before. We've heard about Noah and the ark and the animals coming two by two and all of that kind of thing. We've heard about all that. Many of us have. But the truth be told, many people have not taken the time to really look at the purpose and the plan that God had for Noah's life. And we get something from that is relevant to us on today, because there's three things that Noah's life shows us about real faith. Real faith begins to take action when we implement these three things. Real faith begins to take action and becomes more than just lip service, but it actually is lived out in our lives when we consider these three things. First of all, Noah shows us that we have to acknowledge the warning. Look at chapter 11, verse 7 of Hebrews. It says it right there in the text. I'm not making anything up. It's right there in the scripture. In verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah being divinely what? Warned of things not yet seen. It is important for us as children of God, as believers, to not just think that this thing called Christianity is some sugar-coated cotton candy type of journey. We've got to recognize that there's a warning that's associated with this thing. Noah had to understand that, yes, he was a man that pleased God. God was pleased with his life. But then God came to him and told him, there's a warning that I want to share with you, that I'm about to judge the earth. And the truth be told, many times we step around talking about the warning because we're so fixated upon worship and we're so fixated upon all the glitz and glamorous things about serving God and about being a Christian. And we try to sugarcoat it, and it's like we're dancing in the fields and skipping down the hall and all that. But that's not all that it's cracked up to be. We have to recognize that with this thing called Christianity, there's a warning that we must acknowledge. What is that warning? Noah was being divinely warned of things not yet seen. He was being warned. God came to Noah and said, Noah, I'm about to judge the earth. I'm about to send a flood, Noah. Now, mind you, we have to understand how significant this warning was to Noah. Noah had never seen a flood. And so when God is coming to Noah saying, I'm going to flood the earth, he's like, okay, I don't know what that is. I don't know what a flood is, because of the climate, where Noah lived, there had never been a flood like this. He didn't understand what God was talking about. So he's like, what are you suggesting, that you're going to do something that I have never seen? But it's important for us to acknowledge the warning. Listen, first of all, we have to believe what God has spoken. We have to believe it. Noah had to believe that God was speaking the truth. He had to believe it. He had to accept it. He had to recognize it. He had to acknowledge the warning. In other words, he had to believe something that he had never seen. That's faith. And you and I, we are told that there are things to come. I need to make sure that we do recognize that there are things to come, that this is not our home. Okay, wait a minute. Maybe I need to back up, rewind that a little bit. This is not our home. This earth is not our home. I know you may have it going on and everything seems to be good. You've got your career on track and all of that type of stuff. But guess what? It's going to end. Yeah. eventually. This is not your home. And so we have to recognize there is more to come. There is more to our story. And so we have to understand that even though we have the hope of salvation and spending eternity with God, that's wonderful, that's great, but there's a warning that's associated with that as well. God tells Noah, Noah, I'm looking all over the earth. You and your family, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. But the rest of these folks are going to be judged. He had to believe what God had spoken. Not only was he going to judge them, but he was going to judge them through a flood. Okay, he had to believe that. But then watch this. Not only did he have to believe what God had spoken, he had to behave with a sense of urgency. The Bible says it right there. It says Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen, and he moved with godly fear. That right there is important. It's significant because he hears God tell him, I'm about to flood this earth. I'm about to judge those wicked folks, and I'm going to save you. You're going to build an ark. You're going to do this. That's great. But then it says that Noah heard what God spoke, and he moved with godly fear. That's significant because that's faith going into action. He had faith to believe what he had not seen, that God was going to flood the earth. He had never seen a flood, but he believed God, and he moved with godly fear, and he figured, if God is going to do this, I guess I better do something in response. And so we have to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that when God speaks to us, we have to respond. We have to respond. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Go back over to Genesis chapter 6. Go back over to that. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. Go back over to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we see the conversation that takes place between God and Noah. We see God explaining to Noah what he is about to do. He's explaining to Noah what he's about to do. He's explaining to Noah what his response ought to be. He's explaining how he's going to help Noah. He's giving Noah several things. Listen, it is no different than what you and I have. God literally gives Noah a blueprint and a plan for what is about to take place. And God has not done anything different with you and I. He has given us a blueprint through his word called the Holy Bible. And he tells us what's going to happen. He tells us this stuff is inevitable. And we need to make sure that we respond with a sense of urgency. Here's the problem, that sometimes our behaviors are not a reflection of our beliefs. Yeah. Sometimes our behaviors are really not a reflection of our beliefs. Because if we truly believed that God was going to judge this earth, if we truly believed that God was going to come back one day and judge the earth, if we truly believed that the world is going to come to an end eventually, if we truly believe, wouldn't we act with more of a sense of urgency? Okay, maybe you're saying, but that's Noah and the flood. That's the Bible says that he's not going to flood the earth again. He's not going to do that. But come here and let me help you with something. Go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew. Stay in Genesis, but put your finger in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 24. That entire chapter is what is called the Olivet Discourse. He's preaching on a mountain, the Mount of Olives, and he is telling the people the things that are to come in the end times. In Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39, if you've got a problem with Noah, then you've got a problem with Jesus, because listen to this. He says in verse 36, about that day or hour that he comes back, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Look at verse 38. Watch this. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, getting married, and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. and they knew nothing. This is 39. This is scary. You want to get scared about something, this is right. That's the verse right there. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Man, that's some scary stuff right there. That is how it will be. This is what Jesus says at the coming of the Son of Man. He's saying it's not going to be any different than in Noah's days. Because in Noah's days, Noah got word that judgment was about to come upon the earth. And everybody was living their lives like normal. There was no sense of urgency. Even though they saw this man who was walking with God, a man of faith, a man who was trying to live his life correctly. Even though they saw him doing something unusual, he was building an ark. But they kept on living their lives like normal. How is that relevant to you and I? As believers, people see us on a day-to-day basis. They should see us on a day-to-day basis building something for the kingdom of God. In other words, operating according to God's will, doing what he has called us to do. Sometimes it will seem strange to folks that are not part of his family. Sometimes it will seem like we are doing some odd things. But the truth be told, they continue on living their lives as normal. And we are commended and we are committed to doing exactly what God has told us to do. But we need to do it with a sense of urgency. Okay. Go back to Matthew, because I think we missed something. Noah, in chapter 6 through 9, the story of the flood, Noah in chapter 6 and in chapter 7, Noah is told to build the ark. Noah is given specific instructions on how to build the ark. Noah is even told when the rain is going to fall. He's told when the rain is going to fall. He didn't realize. Now, Noah built the ark. The ark was so big, it took about 40 years or so. But Noah was told by God. He came to Noah and said, now in 7 days, the rain is going to start falling. After he had built the ark, he said, now go into the ark. And in 7 days, the rain is going to start falling. He told him specifically when the rain was about to start falling. He told him, go into the ark, and in 7 days, the rain is going to start falling. Look at Matthew chapter 24 again, what Jesus says at the very beginning of that, in verse 36. Matthew 24, 36 says this, about the day or hour that he comes back, nobody knows. Okay, let's go back. We got to go back to Noah. Noah was told how to build the boat. He was told that he needed to build the boat. He was given the dimensions of building the boat. And he was told when he finished building the boat, he was told, go into the ark. He got all the animals. He got his people up in there. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. 8 people went up in there. He said, go up into the boat. And 7 days from now, the rain is going to start. And Noah had a sense of urgency because he knew what God was about to do. And he knew when God was about to do it. He had a sense of urgency. Come here and let me ask you a question. If Noah had a sense of urgency, he knew what God was about to do something. Shouldn't we have a sense of urgency being the fact that we don't know when it's going to happen? Listen, he knew 7 days, the rain is about to, it still hadn't rained, but 7 days from now, the rain is going to start. Jesus is telling us we don't know when he's coming back. And so we ought to light a fire up under ourselves and start telling folks you need to get into the ark of safety because I have no idea when Christ Jesus is coming back. But you need to be in the fold right now because he could come back at any moment. All right. But we've got to acknowledge the warning. We have to behave in accordance with what we claim to believe. But if we really don't believe that, then we'll do like the people in Noah's day and just live our lives like normal. Live our lives like normal. So, we have to acknowledge the warning. Secondly, we have to agree to do the work. The Bible says in Hebrews, back in Hebrews 11:7, the second part of that verse, it says that he was told to prepare an ark for the saving of his household. He had to prepare an ark. Again, in Genesis chapter 6 and into chapter 7, it is specified. God specifies this is how you are to build the ark. He tells them it needs to be this height. It needs to be this depth. It needs to be all this type of wood. All of these things. God instructed him, told him exactly how to build that ark. But here's the thing. Those dimensions and those things, he had never seen anything like that. Why? Because he had never seen water like that. So God was telling him to build something that he had never seen before. But he was willing to do the work. And this work took so much time. Again, it took approximately 40 years or so for him to build this thing. Now, he got his boys. I noticed how the Bible said that he had three boys, because God knew, listen, this man ain't going to be able to do it just by himself. So he got them three able-bodied boys that could come along and help him out. And so him and his family began to build this ark. He had to be willing to do the work. It's not enough to just believe. You've got to put that belief into action and do something significant for the kingdom of God. You have to agree to do the work. God gave him a plan. That's what's on your handout. He gave him a plan. But then watch this. He told him to build that ark for the saving of your family. Only 8 people survived that flood. Moses and his wife. I bet his wife was happy that she chose Moses to hook up with, you know, not Jimmy and whatever. She chose Noah. She chose Noah. And Noah and his wife, Noah and his 3 sons and their wives. 8 folks. The number 8 in scripture, the number 8 is symbolic of new beginnings. New beginnings. 8. God was going to do a new thing, new beginnings with mankind using Noah and his family. But Noah had to agree to do the work. God didn't make him build that ark. Did y'all hear me? God did not make Noah build that ark. Noah still had to go from belief to putting it into action. And he tells you and I to build a Christian home. He tells you and I to build a godly reputation at our jobs. He tells you and I to build certain things, to do certain things, to feed the poor, to help the homeless, to do these things. He tells us to do that. But we've got to go from believing that God told us to do it to actually doing it. Doing it. Let's think about Noah building that ark for 40 years. Can you imagine the 5th year? Noah, his friends come by, his homeboys come by. You know, everybody's still getting married, having wedding celebrations, babies being born. They have all kinds of stuff going on, and Noah's steady building the ark. Building, 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 building. The parties are going on. Promotions are happening. New businesses are sprouting up. Noah's still building. People come by. Noah, don't you want to go hang out with us? Don't you want to do something? Nah, man, I got to keep building this ark. Can you imagine the 10th year? Kids are getting older. I mean, they grown men now. They got all their people, you know, they want to have some kids and stuff like that. But you notice, the Bible doesn't say anything about their kids because they out there working. The time for their kids was going to come. But at this time, they needed to do the work of God. They had to agree to do the work. We just look at Noah a lot of times, but the Bible specifies Noah had 3 sons. They had wives. They put everything on hold to build that ark, to keep building. How many of us will agree to put our own stuff on hold to do what God has called us to do? How many of us are willing to do what Noah was willing to do? That's the faith that's being mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. It's talking about how Noah acknowledged the warning. He agreed to do the work. But then the third thing is that he accepted God's will. Y'all, we got to go back. What was the What was the warning that he gave? He said, I'm about to wipe out the earth, and only you and your family are going to make it. We miss this sometimes because Noah had to at some point taken into consideration, what about my cousins? What about Auntie? What about Pookie now? What about my friends? But he had to accept God's will. Let me tell us something on today. We have to recognize. I want you to look around. Everybody look around. People are behind you. People in front of you. Look around. Everybody that you looked at, not everybody is going to be in heaven. Amen. Don't look again. Don't look again saying it must be you. But not everyone. Now my prayer is that you all come into relationship or have relationship with Christ Jesus. That's my prayer. But you can go into your job, you can go to your school, you go to your neighborhood. Not everyone that you set your eyes upon is going to make it. But here's the thing. You don't know who's going to make it or not. So your responsibility is telling them, you better get on this boat. You better come on in. Your responsibility, because you don't know. God knows. And here's what Noah had to do. Noah had to accept God's will. He recognized, first of all, God's providence, that God is in control. He recognized that. That if God said only 8 of you are going to make it and I'm going to destroy the rest, what was he going to do? Question God? But you know, sometimes that's what we do. It's like we get into a negotiation with God. If God says something's going to happen in your life, if God sends something your way or allows something to come your way, what are you going to do? You can pray to him and acknowledge that. But listen, God's providence, it supersedes anything that we know. He's in control. So if he said only 8, we're going to make it. If he said that only those who profess a belief in Jesus Christ, only those will make it. It don't matter what Oprah said. He said it's only one way. One way. So it don't matter what anybody else said. You can have somebody in your ear telling you what the interpretation of that has been misconstrued over the year. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And that's the only way that you're going to get to heaven. Yes. And we can't do anything about God's providence. That's what he said. But then watch this. He also relied on God's protection. The Bible tells us that when they went into the ark, it says that God sealed the door. God sealed the door. Y'all ain't hear me from that. God sealed the door. Listen. It's been discussed and debated. And why would God seal the door? God possibly sealed the door because if Noah had the key to open the door, he probably would have heard his cousin screaming, "The water, Noah, the water is overtaking me." And he might have opened up the door and messed up the plan of God. But God sealed the door so that Noah and his family couldn't even open that door once it was closed. And that's the providence of God. That's the protection of God. He's already letting us know that when that day comes, that those who have not placed their faith in Christ Jesus will be separated from him. And we may look and say, cousin so-and-so, close friend, I thought you were a Christian. But only God knows. And there's nothing we can do about it at that point. But at this point, while we're still building, we can let them know, hey, you need to get on this boat. You need to repent. You need to know who God is. In this time frame, you need to know who Jesus is. You need to stop living your life like that. You need to keep him in consideration. You need to put him first while we're building that ark. But there's coming a day where God's going to seal the door. Think about Noah. Think about Noah looking around and seeing the other seven people. He sees his boo. That's my boo. She made it. I see my kids. Awesome. I see their wives. Awesome. Think about all the people he did not see. And so, my brothers and sisters, that sense of urgency must be there for us now. So that when we get to glory, we look around and we can say, oh, awesome, mama's here. Awesome, dad's here. We can look around and we won't be searching for, but where is so-and-so? God gives us opportunity now. Why? Why would we wait till we get to heaven to look around for so-and-so to see if they made it when we have that person right now and we can call them up right now to see if they have placed their trust and faith in Jesus Christ? And instead of us looking on the other side and sitting wondering if they're there, we can tell them now, I'll see you when we get to glory because I know that you are in the ark of safety. We can do that right now. Right now. Right now. Because here's the beauty of the gospel. Noah was limited to 8 people. But Jesus doesn't give you a limit. Jesus doesn't say you only got 8 folks. You got 7 folks that you can bring with you. He doesn't give you a limit. He tells you to go and make disciples. Teaching them everything I've taught you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go. But are you willing to do the work? Noah accepted God's will because he recognized God's providence and he relied on God's protection. But then the last thing is he remembered God's promise. Surely Noah must have heard the voices, the screams. Surely Noah must have thought. Now I know it can be debated. Some people say the wood was so thick they didn't hear it. Whatever. But the mind, he knew that there were some folks that he knew and loved. They didn't make it. But he remembered God's promise. Because God came to him and said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I'm going to replenish the earth with you and your family. And so he kept the promise at the forefront. And that's what Hebrews 11:7 closes with, suggesting that though his participation in building the ark and going into the ark condemned the world, he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. His name is associated with faith because he did what God called him to do. He acknowledged the warning. He agreed to do the work. He agreed to do the work. And he accepted God's will. I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage us. And I said something. I said, you know, we go over to heaven and looking for somebody. I mean, I know even theologically we're going to be, it's going to be totally different. It's not even, we're not going to be worried about that. And that's something you ought to keep in consideration, because those of us who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, those, we ain't going to be worried about you if you didn't accept. We're worried about you now. So, but our sense of urgency. We ought not live our lives just any old kind of way. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, just like in the days of Noah, people were living their lives any kind of way up until the day that Noah went into the ark. We ought to have a sense of urgency to tell somebody about Jesus. We ought to have a sense of urgency to tell somebody about the love of God. We ought to have a sense of urgency to put our faith into action. Because otherwise all we're doing is just hogging it to ourselves, keeping it to ourselves. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us, he did not save you so that you could sit down. He saved you so that you could tell somebody else, so that you could help somebody else. He did not save you so that you could be selfish and say, look at me, I'm a member of this church, I do this, or I'm gifted in this way. So what? He saved you so that you can put those gifts to use for his kingdom. So you got to put faith into action. And this faith, real faith, is like Noah. I said, God, even though you've given me a pretty gloomy forecast, I'm willing to do the work. But we know the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us that God desires that all men should be saved. In other words, he has love for everyone, but not everyone has love for him. Amen. At the bottom of your paper, this I'll just close out with this. We don't need any cute story or funny thing, anecdote or anything like that. Just I wanna encourage you to this. Isaiah 55:6 says this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. That's it. I'm gonna let the word end it. Seek the Lord while he can be found. That gives an insinuation that there's coming a day. You ain't gonna be able to find him. So let's thank him for the time that he is giving us and given us. But seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he's near. Amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet.